Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we explore new aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight's show is Haunted Hollywood Tours, and our guest is Brian Sapir, the founder of Haunted Hollywood Tours, which is actually is one of the most popular ghost tours in Southern California. So I'm very excited to talk to our guest tonight. We have lots of very interesting stories to share. But before I do, I want to give you a little bit of UFO news. We've got some interesting things going on recently. There is some controversy currently going on about a photograph that's taken, allegedly, by the Apollo astronauts. And this is on the internet. And this photograph is causing, you know, a lot of, I guess you would call arguments back and forth with various researchers on the web. This photograph apparently shows what looks like a crashed UFO on the moon. Now, I think this is very interesting because I've actually talked to witnesses who have reported this same type of thing. And I used to be very skeptical of so-called alien artifacts on the moon, but the more that comes out, the more I'm convinced. And so we'll see. Another piece of interesting news. This is kind of different. It's about a miracle tree. Now, we all know that trees are kind of amazing things in and of themselves, and nothing is really more healing than to just sit down at the base of a tree and relax and enjoy its energies. Well, apparently, there is a miracle tree in San Gabriel that is healing people. Israeli psychic Adina has discovered this miracle tree while participating in a yard sale. And she became fascinated by the tree in the front yard and said it was a miracle tree because it absorbs negativity, disease, and illness from people. She also said that the owner of the property had actually been healed of an illness by the tree. And as a matter of fact, the owner did, in fact, have hepatitis C, and halfway through his therapy, he had to quit because his insurance would not continue to pay for the treatment, and he couldn't afford it. But to his doctor's amazement, a biopsy of his liver showed that the virus was now completely gone. So another psychic actually visited the tree, heard about it. Her name is Pat Bars, and she says that the tree is, in fact, very healing, that different areas of the tree have different energy, and she gets actually very deeply into it. And for people who are more interested in this miracle tree, there is actually times you can go see it. So if you'd like to email me, just go to the website, and you can email me, and I'll tell you when you can go and see this tree. It is in Glendale. So that's kind of a piece of interesting but bizarre news. And let me see. We just got a couple of more things here that I think people might be interested in hearing, which one is about a UFO sighting in Chile overlooking the Andes, I believe. Yes, overlooking the Andes Mountains, which are, of course, very enormous mountains in South America. And this lady, her name is Patricia Lorena Lara, is a secretary in a doctor's office. And she works on the highest floor of a very tall building where she has a great view of the Andes and the foothills of these mountains. And she noticed, starting on April 12th, that these lights kept coming out of the mountain in one certain location at the same time each day, from 1 to 2 o'clock. And it would blink on and off and then disappear. And one day, she noticed a cloud coming over the mountain, and it was a very peculiar cloud because it was dark and very compact. And suddenly, it came right over the spot where this light was, and an object actually came out of the cloud and darted all over the mountain. And she says it was unbelievable, but it's a very interesting case. I don't know. I think there's actually a lot of alien bases going on that people don't even really know about. And there's just so much activity. Now, another interesting last sighting I want to tell you about is a sighting over Washington, D.C., which I think is interesting because we had a guest on in the past, Robert Stanley, whose book, UFOs Over Washington, D.C., just showed that how brazen these saucers are, and they come right up to the center of civilization, basically, and they're still doing it. On March 5th, 2007, at 7 p.m., this witness reports seeing, while he was in Washington, D.C., a saucer, which was then followed by a second triangular-shaped object. Both were silent. The triangular object was bronze-colored and then slowly faded from view. He watched it for about 10 minutes. And interesting sighting. But let's get to our guest tonight. I'm very excited about our show. Tonight, our guest is Brian Sapir, the founder of Haunted Hollywood Tours. And Hollywood, of course, is famous for the home of movies and celebrities and glitz and glamour. However, it also has its darker side. In the pursuit of fame and fortune, many stars were doomed to tragedy, and they are still replaying these tragedies today. So there are famous ghosts out there, and there are places you can go and actually see these ghosts. And from what I understand, people have actually seen ghosts during this tour. Brian Sapir's been a ghost researcher for many years, and we'll learn more about how he has started this tour. Brian, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really, it's a pleasure for me to be on your show, and I'm very excited about this. I hope I have some things to share with you and your audience that, you know, will make a difference, and will give you guys a little bit of my own personal experience that I've had, encounters and, premonitions and visions with the...
Cool. Well, that's exactly what I want to talk about. And if anyone out there wants to give a call, the number is 877-876-5227. That's toll-free. Give us a call. It's 877-876-5227. Okay, Brian, tell us, how did this all start? Did you always believe in ghosts?
Yeah. Well, it started when I was a little boy and my parents broke up. They had a divorce, and I had a fever, and I was running a really high fever, like over 100, you know, five. And I remember having a nightmare where I was actually being followed by this dark being, just like some type of demonic soul. And I was pretty much like trapped in like a sand dune or something, like out in the desert, and I just couldn't cross the desert, and I was stuck, and I had no way out. And so I think that was my first experience with some type of really evil entity that really got under my skin, and, you know, it was really haunting me in my nightmares and following me around in my house, and my home was broken into after that, and I had really bad things happening. And
really?
Yeah, one thing after another. Yeah, I was in a car accident. I got hit by a car. My mom, she was in the manic depressive. And, I mean, it's just like everything was just so negative. And then some years later, I started having experiences with different types of ghosts and spirits, more positive ones.
And where was this going on?
Well, I was in Arizona. I was at a Baha'i convention, and... my dad is like from the Middle East, and he's a member of the Baha'i faith, which is like a world religion. And I was immediately attracted to it. And then that night, I was in a room, and I felt overwhelming power, like an attraction to this bathroom. I went into the shower, and it was like I was in control of some other type of entity, like I was being possessed, and it was telling me what to do. And next thing I knew, I was in the shower. And it was like I had this outer body experience.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw a being made out of light. It was very powerful and overwhelming. And at some point, I got down and I said to myself, I have to do something. And I looked right at it, and I reached out to it, and it kind of like pulled me into some type of dimension. And I was there for I don't know how long, and I was out of it for a while, and didn't remember what happened, so I had a little bit of amnesia after that, the whole event, yeah.
Well, what's the next thing you remember?
The next thing I remember, I was in another room. It was with my dad. It was already closed, and I don't know, I'd been talking to him for a while. I didn't even know what I was talking about, and he was crying, and he said that I did have this experience and that I was really taken and then brought back. It was like I'd left my body.
That almost sounds like a UFO experience in some ways.
I can't really make the call on what it was, but I know it was that there was a being. I think it was some type of supernatural power beyond you know, anything I've ever experienced. I never had an experience like that again, but I've been really receptive to spirits, and I can feel vortexes and cold energy, and I know when they're out there and when they're around. I do feel that. I do feel it in other people that are with me. I do the Haunted Hollywood tours. I take them to the most haunted places in the world, and that's where we are right now. In fact, on the tour, I've got a group, and we're inside a haunted house up here on Cielo Drive, just only moments away from the actual property where the Manson murder of Sharon Tate, the pregnant Hollywood movie star, took place, and other victims that were with her, Abigail Folger, Steve Parent, Jay Sebring, and Wojtek Frykowski. And this is kind of the Mount Everest of paranormal places, and kind of a ghost hunter's dream come true, so to speak, because
there's
always cold energy and real strong kind of vortexes that are constantly coming and going up here. And a very powerful geomagnetic field that has been detected. It's been on ghost hunters. And I'm here with David Oman also. And he did a movie called The House at the End of the Drive. And it's based on actual events that happened here. It's kind of a part fact and fiction tale of what happened to Sharon Tate and her friends, but written by David Oman, the producer of the film House at the End of the Drive.
Very interesting. Wow.
Yeah, and if you'd like to talk to David, I think I might be able to put him on the phone with you in a few minutes, and you can get his take on, you know, his home being haunted, and he would love to tell you about how it's been visited by Sharon Tate and Jay Sebring. And I've talked to neighbors who have seen Abigail Folger, and
they've seen apparitions. And
apparitions, yeah, the ghosts of the victims who have been seen over and over again. One of the things that happened to me when I was coming up to David's house one time, I actually heard some screaming. I remember a couple years ago, it was sounded like a woman's voice screaming, and I know Trent Reznor and Marilyn Manson were up here. I don't know if they stumbled on something, but I heard that Trent Reznor was living in the house in the early 90s for several years and did a music video called, or a recording for his Downward Spiral CD. He devoted a song to Sharon Tate called Her. And they did get EVPs of voices being recorded. In fact, when I was coming up the hill tonight, I had strange audio coming through on my PA, you know, the microphone in the bus that I do the tours in. I normally do the tour in, like, a funeral car, though. It's like a 61 Cadillac hearse-looking vehicle. It's not really a hearse, but it is a funeral car. It's a really large, and it's a motion picture car, too. So if anybody comes out to Hollywood, I do private tours of all these haunted places. We were just at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and they did allow us to go in, even though the cemetery was closed. So it's kind of fun. Really, it is an experience that people, I hope, will never, ever forget.
Right. Well, especially, you know, if they have never seen anything, they actually have an experience. No, where is this house you're at now? On Cielo Drive?
Yeah, it's 11100 Cielo Drive.
In what town?
I'm sorry, 10100 Cielo Drive.
We don't need the exact address. I just wonder which city.
We did change the addresses, I think. couldn't come up here on your own. It is a private road, and if you want to do something like that, you have to get permission, or, you know, I would recommend taking the tour, since I know David Oman, and he is a property owner up here. He gives me permission to bring people up here, but otherwise you'd be kind of, you know, trespassing, and there are people that live up here that would ask you to leave. So.
Right. Okay, well, so, So tell us about the tour and, like, some of the most haunted places. I mean, this is a paradise for ghost hunters, huh?
Definitely. I mean, I've been in the Roosevelt Hotel before when it was very active, just, you know, encountering things.
You know, the Roosevelt Hotel's in Hollywood?
Yes, Hollywood Roosevelt.
And it's a very large hotel, right? And
it is. Yeah, it's a major metropolitan hotel built back in 1927. There's a Blossom Room where they hosted the first Academy Awards in 1929. But in the late 20s and early 30s, there was a major mafia hangout. And these guys that were working for the mob would often, you know, get together, do some gambling, drunk. And when they got really high, late at night, so obviously we get into fights and arguments. And there were a couple of them, men, the gangsters, that were actually murdered in the hotel down in the underground. And Hollywood is known to be haunted by these gangsters, Gus and Anthony. These are the two mafia hitmen. One is like a tall, slender, and one is a little short and stubby. And these guys are wise guys, and they're ghosts. And they can do things, very dark things, where people have been pushed by invisible hands. They make the bump in the night happen, the booming on the rooftops. And also the cold spots in the Blossom Room, right above where these characters were hacked up and stabbed, their bodies dragged out to the street and dumped on the sidewalk. So obviously, when a murder occurs, and it's a tragic murder and a harrowing killing, like the spirits don't cross over immediately and do have unfinished business. At least that's my experience that I've had encountered at the Roosevelt. So we have also...
Have you had experiences at the Roosevelt then, yourself?
I have. I've had an experience with, I believe, to be Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia, and Errol Flynn. Those are what I believe to be the three ghosts that I've had encounters with, along with, you know, the mafia hitman.
All right. Wow. Well, what did you see or what did you feel?
Well, there was a guy on my tour that took a picture of the mirror that once decorated Marilyn's suite.
The famous mirror.
The Havana rooms behind the hotel when she was living in the hotel back in the 1950s. When she was doing movies like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, 7 Year Itch, all the Billy Wilder classics. And she used to audition or perform and rehearse her parts and roles in a mirror, you know, before she actually went out to do any of the work as an actor. And she spent long hours from the mirror, and now, many years later, in fact, ever since the 1980s, they've been bringing in psychics because workers, people that have been in the hotel working, ran into her ghostly image peering out, you know, from the reflective glass. And I had a guy that took a picture. He took about 75 pictures and did get an image of Marilyn Monroe in his photograph. And
That's interesting.
That was pretty impressive.
There's been some controversial photographs of her ghost published before.
Yeah.
By Hans Holzer, or somehow he was involved in that investigation. That's interesting.
Right.
So would you say the Roosevelt is like the most haunted place around in Hollywood?
It's accessible, so therefore it's believed to be extremely haunted, but other buildings in Hollywood are said to be equally as haunted or even more so than the Roosevelt Hotel. And I'll give you an example. The Palace on Vine Street, I went there on a paranormal investigation, and I heard a band playing on stage. I mean, I could hear the drums, I could hear the voices, I could hear, you know, like these guys were just rehearsing. But when I went inside the palace, there wasn't a living soul. I mean, there was nobody in there, not a person at all. But we could still hear something coming from above, like up in the catwalk. It's like the spirits were fleeing away. But,
What kind of music was it? Was it like old style, or could you tell what
era? Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those like 40s bands, you know.
you know, that music.
Yeah. Sure. Wow. And it was used many years for, like, you know, Harry James or, you know, some of those big bands back in the 40s used to play there.
This is a theater?
It's a theater, yeah. The Palace. It's like a real live theater, though. It's live theater, not a movie theater.
Oh,
it's a
live theater.
I think they turn it into a club now. It's also a nightclub.
And this is in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, I talked to the guy working there. I said, come on now. Is it really haunted? I often ask people this question. He says, we get phone calls from rooms, offices that are unoccupied, that did belong to someone that was working in the Palace for years and years, stage managers, engineers, people that just were administrators. And some of them were either murdered or had died, while working there.
Wow.
And obviously never left. Wow. And are still working on scaring people half to death.
Now, with the Roosevelt Hotel, what kind of experiences did you yourself have?
I had an experience. A really good one was the night when the Black Dahlia Avenger book came out. It's a book written by Hodell. It's like David, George Hodell was one of the alleged murderers of the Black Dahlia. George Hodell was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type who was had a lot of ties to Hollywood and the movie industry. And he was a real doctor. And he is one of the prime suspects. He was really a LAPD prime suspect in the Black Dahlia investigation. And now his son, Stephen, had wrote a book about his father's involvement in her death. So the night we were in the hotel, the book had come out, and I took some people up to meet the author. But before we got that far, we were standing in front of a locked display. It was on the wall, so one of those display cases that had all the daily activities, and it said on it "Black Dahlia Avenger." But I had my back towards it, and I was just chatting about the hotel and all the hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned around, I saw the locked glass display case open itself, unlocking itself.
Uh-huh.
On its own volition. Nobody had touched it. We were all like minimum 3 or 4 feet away.
And there were other people watching this too.
Yeah. There were at least 5 or 6 people standing next to me, and the door, it was a metal door, swung open right towards us ever so slowly, but it opened all the way. And everybody was just shocked. Shocked.
Wow.
Amazing. And I couldn't think of anything but, the Black Dahlia, her spirit was with us that night in a very special way, and it was amazing.
Amazing.
Also, I was in the bar one time and ordered a drink, and it's kind of a notorious bar, the Teddy Bar, where years ago Errol Flynn, David Niven, and, many of the old-time Hollywood stars, the Barrymores and William Holden used to all hang out. And Errol Flynn was known to jump behind the bar. Years ago, him and David Niven, and they would make up their own concoctions. They just brew it up, whatever they were.
Where is this?
Over at the Roosevelt, at the bar in the Roosevelt Hotel. They have a couple bars there. And it was the Teddy Bar, which is no longer there. They have shut that bar down. But I was in that bar, and I ordered a drink. I had been sitting there for just a few moments. The drink was right in front of me. I ordered. And I was looking up at the television, and right out of the side of my eye, my peripheral vision, I was looking down, and I actually saw the glass begin to move.
Huh.
Ever so slowly, but it started to move, and it was moving in the direction to my left towards the bartender who was on the other side of the bar. She was leaning over, she was kneeling down, and she was like grabbing a bottle of wine. And I looked down there, and I saw that glass just take off like a silver bullet. It shot down the counter as quick as could be and almost landed on her head. She had to really duck down to avoid it, and it just flew right at her. It was like something that just sucked it right into her direction. She looked right dead into my eyes and asked if I had seen what just happened. I was like, no way.
Jeez. So does the Roosevelt management encourage people? I mean, what do they say about the ghosts?
They try to cover it up. They used to give out hand out 4 or 5 page articles that were written up, just reports of hauntings by people working in the hotel. And I often talk to people. They say, you know, the witching hour, the 3 o'clock, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, rooms will become so cold that people can't stay in them. The sounds, noises coming from the rooftop, like on the penthouse suites where Clark Gable and Carol Lombard's ghosts is still supposedly haunted. Even Babe Ruth is said to haunt the hotel. They hear the banging, the bats banging on the roof. And, I mean, they check out of the hotel. People just can't not stay in the Roosevelt. It's like you check in, but you never check out.
Very, very interesting. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Brian Sapir, founder of Haunted Hollywood Tours. Now, Brian, where do you have a website that you can direct people to so they can check this out?
Yes, it's hauntedhollywoodtours.com.
HauntedHollywoodTours.com,
and my email is there. You can contact me there through the website. We are in the midst of upgrading the website, but the tour is also sold through StarlineTours.com. So if you want to buy your tickets online, I would recommend buying it on the StarlineTours.com because we are revamping the HauntedHollywoodTours.com website. But you can get my number and information from the website at Haunted Hollywood Tours, and just go ahead, give me a call, and anytime we can set up a tour for you, your guest.
Okay, that's www.hauntedhollywoodtours.com.
Yes.
Okay, now, what else, what are some of the other haunted places besides the Palace Theater and the Roosevelt Hotel?
Well, one place that I really had an encounter in the past, years ago, with ISPR, who is taking part of the Haunted Hollywood Tour, as paranormal investigators who did research on several buildings in Hollywood, and they concluded Hollywood years ago was a residential street, and it was called Prospect Avenue. And nearly 100 years ago, there was a school on Hollywood Boulevard called Prospect Elementary.
And
there was a fire. There was a fire in the school. About a half dozen children died, and 3 or 4 faculty members, principal of the school, some of the teachers. Now, they built a movie theater some years later on the site of the school called the Vogue Theater. It's in Hollywood. It's on Hollywood Boulevard, and for some time was the center of a lot of paranormal investigating, ghost hunting, and research teams would take people in and show them, various parts of the movie theater. And I saw a woman that was able to contact the spirit of a child who died in the fire. Her name was Annabelle, the little girl who died in the fire, about 8 or 9 years old. And Annabelle was a very active ghost that was pretty much able to point out where other spirits were that couldn't be seen or communicated with. And the night I was in the movie theater, we had a medium who was able to contact Annabelle, chat with her, hold hands with her. I mean, it was just amazing how these spirits really can reach out.
Right. I think they're very close to us. They're just in a slightly higher dimension. But they're very, very, it's all very close to us, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I agree. Like layers on a cake, I like to say. You know, it's almost, you know, they're on the top layer. They can see the lower layers, but we can't see them. You know what I mean? And we're all facing in this kind of the one direction where one layer sees the layer below it, but not the layer above it.
Right.
So they can see us. So we can't see them. And maybe there's more and more and more layers, and it just keeps going. That's what I believe. I think that it's a multi-dimensional universe, and that there are ways of contacting those out there.
Right. So is this where the school burned down? Is this mm-hmm. place still haunted then, you think?
Yes, I believe so. I don't think that spirits can just pack up and leave whenever they want. I think that they have something that needs to be done for them to cross over, like unfinished business. Maybe they're back to clarify something.
Well, tragedy is going to leave its mark no matter what anyway, right? I mean, if there's a very negative energy going on there, you're going to be able to feel that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and with these children who died, like Annabelle, who died in the fire, or Montgomery Cliff, who haunts the ninth floor of the Roosevelt Hotel, playing his bugle, practicing his lines. A lot of these spirits are very much attached to these physical planes. There's love for them, memories, sentimental value. I mean, they are attached to inanimate objects, things that once belonged to them. And I think these spirits are having a hard time letting go.
Wow. Very interesting. So has anyone on your tours seen ghosts? I mean, actually they have.
You've already
mentioned several cases.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes will sneak people in to buildings we're not supposed to go into. I've snuck people into the building on Cherokee where the Black Dahlia allegedly lived, and we went up to 501. That was her apartment where she lived the night of her murder.
Oh, so this is a private apartment building then?
Yeah, it's an apartment building, 1841 Cherokee, and I take people there, and one night we were able to get in. We snuck up to the fifth floor. And a lady on my tour actually got to be possessed.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. She was possessed. I had to carry her out of the building.
What happened?
Well, we got up to the fifth floor, and she was coming up the stairs. She was, I mean, visibly we could see that she was being hounded by spirits, followed. She became very fearful and very timid. And just like a dog or any animal, these spirits can sense fear, and it can cause a frenzy. I mean, they get wild over it. They see the reaction. They see that they're being felt, and they want more and more and more. Remember, they don't have the physical body, okay?
They
miss their bodies, and they see somebody who is very susceptible to their energy, and they jump right in. I mean, they go for it. And
wow.
She was overcome by the spirits. And we had to get her out of there. She was, like, hyperventilating. She was sweating. She was, I mean, it didn't get to the point where she had to be taken to the hospital, but I did have to pretty much put her on my shoulder and carry her down the stairs and get her out of the building as quick as possible. And the same thing has happened over here at David Oman's house. It was a lady that was a friend of a friend with Sharon Tate. It was like her grandmother, who was best friends and grew up with Sharon Tate, knew Sharon Tate intimately. The spirit of Sharon Tate was here that day with us and was able to communicate to David Oman, okay, that this girl was welcome, that this girl was somebody that was a friend, okay, to David. And we were up here, we were with her, and she couldn't go any further. It was like this far, but no further. She just could not do it. She was overwhelmed.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and it was only after the fact that we found out that she was somebody that was related to a friend of Sharon Tate. And even with the Vogue Theater, nobody knew it was a school. They encountered all these little children, these spirits, children playing in the aisles, the seats, with people working there.
What's the place called? The Vogue Theater?
Back on the Vogue Theater, I wanted to say nobody knew that there was a school there while they were doing paranormal investigating. It was only after the fact of communicating with these ghosts who were able to, through mediums, clairvoyantly tell their stories that we were able to do the investigating into the past and then found out it was really a school and that these were children who died at a school fire so many years ago.
Wow.
Only after we confronted the spirits, only after we confronted the ghosts, that the truth was known.
Very interesting. Wow. So there's a lot. How many? how many public haunting places would you say there are in Hollywood? Places that people can go and...
There are literally dozens. There are cemeteries that are haunted, like the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. There are studios that are haunted. Paramount, the old Chaplin Studio, the old Warner Brothers and MGM. I mean, there are intersections of Hollywood that are haunted, and there are residual images of spirits jumping off the Hollywood sign, like Peg Entwistle, the actress who jumped off, to where they filmed the Squaw Man. Cowboys and Indians and covered wagons have been seen on the intersections where they filmed some of the first Hollywood Western movies. So,
wow.
There is a great deal of...
Why do you suppose it's the energy of this place, you think?
I think that we are living in a renaissance today. I think that Hollywood is a great channel. It's a great medium. I think it's the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I think that these people haven't given up. Even in their afterlife, they're still aspiring to be something, someone. And I think that they believe they can accomplish this through their psychic inclinations, you know, their energy that they still have that hasn't diminished even after many years. It can still be traced, felt, sensed, and encountered, and they are doing everything they can to stay on the ball, you know, to keep it rolling.
Right. Right.
It's like the film industry, you know. It's all about the comeback, the sequel. And just like they say in reincarnation, it's making a comeback.
So it seems to me like the most haunted places are like hotels, theaters, graveyards, and would that be accurate?
Yes,
what
I
else?
Believe so too. Well, anything could be haunted at any time. That's the truth of it. There's sometimes reoccurring negative energy. For example, in Hollywood, right off of Wilcox years ago, one of the Dolly sisters, they were like an international hit back in the early 1900s, sensational twin dancers known all throughout the world. One of the Dolly sisters, the younger sister, she was in a car accident, scarred for the rest of her life, and she couldn't live. She couldn't go on after being, in the accident. She got depressed, and she obviously has no self-esteem, and committed suicide. She hung herself in an apartment building. Now, exactly 40 years later, to the day, Clara Blandick, the star of the movie Wizard of Oz, remember Annie M?
All right.
Same apartment, same day, the date, right? The date is the same. 40 years later, commits suicide. She suffocates herself.
Oh.
After going out, buying a dress, having her hair done, she goes, had her hairstyle, nails done, makeup on, lipstick, beautiful dress, brand new shoes. She was losing her hearing, losing her vision. She became very old and had no desire to live. Committed suicide.
Wow.
Just like the Dolly sister who had died right there before. So these are reoccurring things.
Where is this?
People, it's now, they knocked down the old building where these suicides took place. But it's right on Wilcox, just off of Yucca. And
it's amazing.
There are many, many stories about Hollywood celebrities that have died mysteriously, and their spirits have come back to haunt the dwellings. Like Jim Morrison, John Belushi, even River Phoenix, and... I mean, the list goes on and on. Obviously, Sharon Tate, we were up here on Halloween just 3 years ago and saw 5 orbs appear above the house or on the property where she was murdered, the actress, Sharon Tate. And we even saw, like, a very small orb It was just a little bit smaller than the other orbs of energy that were all like spherical and changing shapes and forms and light contrast and texture. And it was really amazing. It was like the most incredible thing I've ever seen up here. And it was like a little light smaller than the rest of them. And to me, it was symbolic of the unborn child. And it was just like a reunion where all the spirits were came out here. And for me, it was real confirmation to what I'm doing, to what I believe in, and to why I am, you know, doing the Haunted Hollywood Tours, is because, I mean, I could live my whole entire life, but if I had no desire to encounter the unknown, it's never going to happen. And I come up here, and I do my best, and I search, and I yearn. And I tell you, I've been doing it for years now, and it's happening. Fortunately, now the time that we're living in, it just seems to be happening more and more, because I think that we're living in a time of spiritual release where people are kind of letting go to the old ways, and we're replenishing ourselves with a new tide of spiritual powers that have been coming in. And I think more and more every day, it's almost like the sun is rising. We're getting a little bit more light. A little bit more energy.
The veil's coming thinner.
Yeah, I really believe that. I think the whole world is going through a flux and a transitional stage.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of different points of view. I mean, from the aliens are saying that, near-death experiencers.
Well, they're coming.
Native Americans, elders.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So. And right up here, where Sharon Tate was murdered, just like the movie Poltergeist, you know, this was land that belonged to Native Americans. It was a Native American base. It was a fort. It was a burial ground. It was their hideout during the Spanish-American War. Their battle spot up here. And that's why there's a heightened amount of spiritual energy. They built all these houses on this Native American land here. And right when they started building houses, that's when Sharon Tate's murder took place back in 69, just the beginning of the development. And I'm standing up here right now, and I tell you, it's really cold.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So are there other places around there with Native American ghosts?
Well, I haven't ever experienced anything like this. This particular place. I'm sure there are, especially up like Sepulveda, Mulholland Drive, sort of like the Hillside Stranglers work, the Zodiac killings, like the Night Stalker, and even Ennis Cosby was murdered just up the street off of Sepulveda. These are other places that were known like habitat areas for the natives who lived here years ago. They usually haunt their sacred land.
Wow. So about how many places do you take people to on the tour? Like, how many?
Well, I try to mix my tours up as much as possible and try to make it as fun for everyone. So I do as much as I can. Right now I've got a group. We're inside this haunted house that David owns. He claims it to be haunted. He's got video. He's got photographs. People are looking at that right now, making their own decisions. I like that. I like people to be able to have a hands-on experience because
right.
I know they'll remember it. And I take people to where George Reeves died, Superman. His ghost is a reoccurring one. Every year on the anniversary of his death, they actually do see his ghost up here.
Are these all private residences then?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
I take people inside the Roosevelt Hotel. I go up to the different floors and rooms, and I do a tour of the Sunset Strip. We go to the Viper Room. I take people where Belushi really died. That's where they say he died. I dispel a lot of the urban legends and falsehoods in Hollywood. I do the Houdini Mansion. We go by the Knickerbocker, where many years they've done seances to bring back Houdini's soul. As I'm talking to you right now, I'm actually walking towards the Sharon Tate house. I'm just a few feet away now from it, and I'm walking down here because I just saw a flicker, like a light, just doing a little investigating myself.
It's very, you know, it's very interesting.
It is getting cooler and cooler and cooler as I walk down the street. I mean, the temperature right now for me is changing, and it's just getting intensely cold. In fact, my left arm is feeling. Oh man!
You know what? I can actually hear breaking up on the phone. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of static there for a second.
Wow.
You're still a little bit static here.
I'm actually hearing. I'm really hearing myself here. And I'm hearing something coming from behind the gate. I don't know if it's an animal. I really can't see what it is, but I can see where it's coming from. So I'm actually hearing some noise right now. I'm going to walk down here closer and see if I can figure out what.
Yes, it appears that Charles Manson has left a trail of haunted houses. I know there's another haunted house in Topanga Canyon where he stayed at. And it remains haunted to this day. I talked to the real estate agent, and she had a lot of trouble selling this particular house because of the bad energies there. And several people who looked at the house remarked upon it. So.
Oh, yes, that is absolutely true. That is... the case, really, indeed, the man who lives up here right now, I can't not tell you his name, but he is a producer, and he's got a very high turnover rate of workers, and these workers have been talking, and they've had UCLA paranormal investigators out here just a few days ago. They came up after hearing the stories, you know, from people working up here, doors slamming and shut, hearing screaming, and of course the loud banging coming from inside the house. They came up here to do some investigating. The owner of the home demanded them to leave. He's a real skeptic, but he doesn't want anybody to know his house is haunted.
Right. Well, I don't blame him. So which is one of the most haunted cemeteries around in Hollywood, would you say?
Well, I go to the Westwood Memorial Cemetery. Anytime I take people there, they always seem to find Marilyn Monroe's tomb all on their own. I never have to show them where it is. In fact, it's like when you get to the cemetery, you feel magnetized to her, and it's almost like she sucks you right in. I mean, everybody walks right to it every time, just without any directions or anything. I've been there. We felt like bursts of energy coming out of the crypt. People have taken pictures, and even over at the cemetery have seen like the flash reflection off the crypt creating a perfect image of a woman's face. You can see the hairline, the eyes, the lips, the nose. Incredible, and captured in pictures. So I would say that the Westwood Memorial Cemetery is extremely haunted. Nicholas Peter Conti's there from The Godfather. He often haunts the tree above his grave. The Poltergeist girls are there. Heather O'Rourke, Dominique Dunn, who was murdered by her ex-boyfriend, and the real mystery behind what happened to Heather O'Rourke. Remember Carol Ann? They're here.
Right, that's a story in itself, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that cemetery is really creepy. Somebody even tried to break into Marilyn Monroe's tomb, so if there's any disturbing the dead, that I think is a perfect case of unresting the departed.
No, I heard that you said there's some haunted roadways. Hollywood Boulevard and Sierra Bonita.
Hollywood and Vine, haunted by Lon Chaney, who rides the bus stop. He waits his ghost, often can be seen. Again, out of the peripheral vision, of people waiting at the bus. They see a man standing next to them. They look over. He's gone. They've been experiencing that for years and years. And then apparently when they removed the park bench for a little while, his ghost did diminish, but now come back in full strength. And really, also Lon Chaney's ghost haunts the intersection of Hollywood and Vine, because he wrote in his will he wanted to be driven before buried in his hearse to the intersection, with his body to be down there. It was his favorite place in the whole wide world. And in fact, what happened was the hearse did drive on its own volition all the way to Hollywood and Vine Street, and then abruptly died in the middle of the road.
Wow.
Yeah, the driver was pretty amazed by the car driving itself. I mean, Hollywood's got some haunted backstreets. Actually, Yucca is also a haunted area right between Cahuenga and Vine Street, the little backdrop that was a highway for James Dean and Marilyn Monroe. Holloway Drive is haunted, where Sal Mineo was murdered from Rebel at a Cause. Griffith Park is haunted by Don Los Feliz. He put a curse on the property years ago because he was ran off his land. Some of his family members were shot and murdered, and he just avoided being killed himself. It was a real massacre up there. And Griffith Park was extremely haunted. In fact, they did Rebel at a Cause up there, and Natalie Wood died. She drowned. James Dean died. He was in a car accident. So they all the actors did die from violent or accidental deaths. Like Sal Mineo, he was murdered in West Hollywood, and Nick Adams also died young and after making the film. So Griffith Park is extremely an actively haunted place. In fact, there was recently a fire there. The Hollywood sign, Griffith Park Observatory, nearly got burned to the ground.
Wow. It's a huge, huge park, actually.
Yeah, it's 4,000 plus acres.
Wow. Have you heard of anything about the Hollywood Entertainment Museum?
The underground there? Yes. That is the site of the original Garden Court apartment building. Laurel and Hardy lived there. Rudolph Valentino years ago. Even Lillian Gish, who was like an early on Hollywood vamp. Babe Daniels, I think she lived there too, believed to be an overdose. She died pretty young, Babe Daniels. She's over at the Hollywood Forever right next to Rudolph Valentino. He was dubbed the irresistible man, and she was dubbed Hollywood's most desirable dish. So, yeah, they're side by side. Also, that Garden Court apartment for years was dilapidated, and there was a lot of overdosing and murders going on there for years and years. It was just the most notorious place in Hollywood, where junkies would hang out and they'd find dead bodies there all the time. So that is an extremely haunted place. Also, the Max Factor building, the Wax Museum, just about every bit of Hollywood, even the Babylon Court. They built the new mall in 2001. It was a young construction worker who fell off the scaffolding more than 600 feet and was decapitated. Every year on the anniversary of his fall, they have electrical problems, or power generator would turn off. And one year, the generator shut down completely, and it took them hours to fix it. And these things are just happening for no apparent reason and for unexplainable consequences. I mean, just really weird things happening. Nobody can put their finger on it.
Right. Well, I have to hand it to you, Brian. You really know your stuff. It's very,
well,
very interesting.
I appreciate you saying that, and I hope that your viewers and listeners will come out to Hollywood and be a part of the haunted tour, because we're actually expanding the service now to where we're doing a hop-on and hop-off tour, where we're going to be doing it all day long, and we're going to be hopping on and off of buses at different haunted places, so you can really spend as much time there as you want.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, everyone. Our show is UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Brian Sapir. We've been talking about Haunted Hollywood Tours, and you can visit his website at www.hauntedhollywoodtours.com. Now, we've got just about 1 minute. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we have to go?
Yeah, I would like to say that there are things that are known and things unknown, and in between are the doors. And I hope that you're willing to open those doors as much as possible until you find your destiny. It's out there, and it's waiting for you.
I believe it all.
Thanks.
Well, thank you, Brian. You've been a great guest.
Thank you, Preston. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on your show tonight.
You're welcome.
Made my day.
Thank you. All right, everyone, that's our show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you can also join us next week when we have Richard Salva. He's going to be talking about his book, which details the link between Charles Lindbergh and Abraham Lincoln, who are apparently the same soul who reincarnated, according to at least one advanced yogi. So it should be a very interesting show. Thank you all for joining me, and have a great evening.
Thank you, Preston. Right on.